And if you have your Bibles in front of you, if you are using a smartphone or device as well, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll refer to that a little bit later, not right now, but I would encourage you to be there at this time. So we began last week. If you were here last week, you know that we started a four-week series that I'm titling Starting Points. In other words, Church Membership 101. And I probably caught people off guard because there are people here who would say, well, wait, I've already had a membership class, or I've been a member here for 50 years, or I'm not interested in being a member. Pastor, why would you teach this on a Sunday morning? And I hopefully was able to answer some of those questions last week as we worked through different things that I want this to cover. This will, in fact, be used in the future when I'm able to meet with different groups of people who are interested in joining our church. And I hope that that continues, and I hope that oftentimes, as many times as possible, I'm able to have a church membership class. Well, guess what? We're all, like it or not, in a church membership class this 4 weeks. And this is the second of the 4 weeks as we go through. 4 weeks of membership class are going to cover different things. And we start with a wide top of the funnel, as I said last week. Last week we covered what we believe. What we believe starts with basic Christian beliefs. Not things that different churches like to argue about, not things that you and I would disagree on, basic Christian beliefs that anyone who calls themselves a Christian is most likely going to believe. And we started narrowing the funnel, and we ended with Baptist distinctives. This is a Baptist church. What does that mean? And I know I heard feedback from many people who said, actually, that was quite helpful because I couldn't have told you one of those six distinctives of a Baptist church. And yet I tried quickly, as time allowed, to show how being a Baptist comes from God's Word. Now, let me pause, and I don't think I even alluded to this last week. It's okay to call yourself a Baptist. I do not. I'm not a Baptist. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am comfortable serving in a Baptist church. I have no problem serving in a Baptist church. Every church except one that I've been a part of in my life has been a Baptist church. When I was in college, I actually attended a Bible church. It was very similar to a Baptist church, but there were some differences. I have no problem being a pastor of a Baptist church. If I did, you guys would have problems now because you have a pastor who doesn't want to be a pastor of a Baptist church. But I do, and that's why I'm here. But I want to make sure that we don't put Baptist above follower of Jesus. It's okay to be in a Baptist church. It's okay not to. I care much more about what the church is doing than what is the name on the front of the sign. You can call yourself whatever you want, but if a church is not doing what a church should be doing, I would say that church is not healthy, has a problem. So we can take the Baptist off, we can leave the Baptist on. I know that ruffles feathers already. The point is, what are we as a church doing, believing, and how are we doing outreach and serving the community? That's most importantly what I care about. Nevertheless, this is a Baptist church, and I wanted to share last week what are some important things about it. And I, again, let me repeat myself, have no problem with being a part of a Baptist church. I think it's great. I think it's good. Do I think Baptists have it all figured out and everybody else is stupid? No, I do not. I know of other churches who would never claim the name of Baptist, who may even be doing church and loving Jesus, maybe even better than a Baptist church. I care less about the name on the sign. I care more about what the church is actually doing. Nevertheless, we should make no apology. This is First Baptist Church of Fairleigh. And that's okay. And I wanted to share that yesterday. Today, we're going to narrow the funnel a little bit more and talk about who we are. Now, instead of just basics and what's the difference between Baptist and Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and so on, now we're starting to narrow the funnel a little bit more today. And I'll get into just in a minute who we are and what we're going to cover. The next 2 weeks, next week, we'll get into the actual nitty-gritty and actual Bible verses about what church membership is and, maybe even more importantly, what it is not. Because all of us probably, if I were to say write down what church membership is and is not, we would certainly, I promise you, we would have disagreements and misunderstandings about what it is and what it's not. Maybe you've been told what it is and what it's not. Maybe you never have in your life. And so I look forward to covering that based off what Bible tells us next week. And then we'll end in 2 weeks. That's May 7th, I believe. And we'll look at what is next. And then we'll be talking about the practicalities. This church, First Baptist Fairleigh, what does it mean to be a church member? What does it mean for us? What is next for this church as far as church membership? Some of you are sitting here and are not interested in membership at all. That's okay. I still think that this study, this series, can be helpful for you. Some of you are almost falling asleep because you've done this church membership thing for years. That's okay too. I still feel like this study can be beneficial to you as well. And for all of us in between, obviously the prayer is that this will be profitable as we learn more from God's word about church membership and the importance, or maybe not, of what it is. All right, so we are number two today, who we are. So week two, who we are, here's what we're going to cover. SBC affiliations, the good, the bad, and the ugly of what that means. If you're confused already, hang on. Hopefully I'll clear some things up. And then what about this church? As we continue to narrow the funnel, we end here today. This church, and we're going to take a look at the past, present, and future of this church, First Baptist Church, Fairleigh. Here we go. SBC, that is short for Southern Baptist Convention, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I chose those words carefully, and I think, unfortunately, accurately. Let me explain what I mean, because not only is FBC Fairleigh, as you see on the front of the sign, a Baptist church, more specifically, we fall into the category of Southern Baptist Church. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in my learning of the history of this church, we started as a Southern Baptist church. For those of you who think that's normal and think that, it's not. I grew up in a church that was independent. It was Baptist. It was very Baptist, but it was independent. They did not assign themselves or link with any other churches. They were not part of a bigger, greater national organization. They did stuff with other churches, but not much. There are also other forms of Baptist that you may or may not have heard of. There are, for example, American Baptist. There's Free Will Baptist. Not only is there Southern Baptist, but there's Northern Baptist. There's Primitive Baptist. There's Regular Baptist. And for me to answer what all those are and the differences there would take way too much time, and probably I would have to wake everyone up to be dismissed. So I'm not going to do that today. If you would like, I can help you and steer you to be able to study all that if that fascinates you. It's helpful to know. But what I care about right now is why we are Southern Baptists and what that means. Here's the ugly. Southern Baptist, the denomination, started because of slavery. Let me be even more specific. The Southern Baptist left what was just considered Baptist or American Baptist, or what became American Baptist, Northern Baptist. They split into Northern Baptist and Southern Baptist. This is, again, about 150, 160, 170 years ago. What was going on in our nation 150, 160, 170 years ago? Racial issues. In fact, this thing we call the Civil War. And unfortunately, and I will say it again, unfortunately, Southern Baptists split from Northern Baptists because they wanted to defend slavery. And they wanted to defend the rights of white people to own and abuse black people. It's not a pretty picture as far as the history and the start of Southern Baptists. We just have to be honest. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to pretend it didn't happen. It did. You say, well, wait, so does that mean that we align today? No. Years and years and years ago, they saw the sin that slavery was. They saw the sin that racism was. And they've both publicly and privately, apologized, confessed, and made statements that you can find right and left on the internet, if you'd like, of where they absolutely condemn how Southern Baptist started. Some people, because of that, information, just that, refuse to be a part of a Southern Baptist church. Let me just say, I get it. That's not me, but I get it. I get it. That is a stain on what should be Bible-led beliefs of Baptists. It's not pretty. In fact, it's ugly. And through the years, Southern Baptists, just like with every single denomination you have in the world, I said world on purpose, you have issues and you have problems. And just like the Catholic Church, and just like the Methodist Church, and just like the Presbyterian Church, and just like Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches have had their issues today even with abuse and hiding abuse and covering over sins and covering over problems. And so there is, rightly so, heavy criticism of the Southern Baptist Convention. I want to be very, very open. I am not going to pretend everything's perfect. It's not. So maybe this bothers you. Maybe you're like, well, wait a sec, I didn't even know. What? Well, Pastor Ben, I don't think we should be aligned with that. And I understand why you would say that. I know. There are concerns and criticisms that I have personally with the Southern Baptist Convention even today. Maybe you say, well, then that may, and in that case, we're out of here. Hang on. Hang on. But that is the ugly. You may have heard or been a part of or seen a Southern Baptist church that acts nothing like a church should act, that is hateful, that is judgmental, maybe that their doctrine is entirely anti-scriptural. Guess what? They exist. See, as I said last week, the fact of what the sign says at the front of the church does not promise that what is taught and preached and believed inside means it's always going to be accurate according to Scripture. I don't care what the sign says on the front. I care what is actually taught and believed and practiced inside the church. And there are some Southern Baptist churches I would never, ever join or align myself with. Just like there are just general Baptist churches I would never, ever align myself with. I don't have time for the story. I would never today willingly join the church that I grew up in. I deeply disagree with much of their practice and their teaching. Deeply. Is it a Baptist church? Yeah. Did they believe those Baptist distinctives we went through last week? Yes. But if you want to ask me privately, I have no problem telling you. I deeply disagree with much of what that church says and practices today. Well, Pastor Ben, you're kind of painting a really, really ugly picture of Baptist churches and specifically Southern Baptist churches. You're right. You're right. I wanted to get the ugly out of the way first. And in fact, what about just denominational? Like just being a part of a denomination. For some people, that's a turnoff. Some people insist I'll never be a part of any denominational church. So if it says Methodist on the front, forget it. If it says Lutheran, forget it. If it says Pentecostal, I'm out of here. If it says Baptist, no way. They want to truly join a non-denominational church. And again, I get it. I understand. Because every denomination has their problems. You know why? Because it's a denomination made up of imperfect churches with a bunch of imperfect people. That's not an excuse. It's just what it is. So hopefully I've gone ahead and said, let's open it up. Here's the ugly of what our church is affiliated with. However, and this is a big however, there is much, much good that goes on in the Southern Baptist Convention as well. You may be thinking already, well, that's for me to decide. Okay, well, let me help. Okay, for example, there are things, and these are all like alphabets, alphabet soup here. Let me help. You will hear me from time to time refer to the IMB. That stands for the International Mission Board. The International Mission Board is the largest missions organization in the world. You can write that one down. I'm not exaggerating. It's the largest mission committee group in the world. And that is their international missions. So if someone in the Southern Baptist Convention prays and feels called to be a missionary, and they link with the IMB, the International Mission Board, the assumption is that they will go out to other nations and be missionaries. And we, part of our mission giving, goes to the IMB. I have friends and close pastors and others that I know who serve in the IMB, and they serve in nations around the world. I can't wait to, at some point, hopefully in the near future, be able to lead a mission trip from our church as we serve and partner with, maybe, IMB missionaries. What's the next little alphabet soup there? NAMB, NAM is how it's pronounced, kind of like lamb, but NAM. North American Mission Board. Ding, 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 where do you think they serve? North America. Wow, you guys are smart, okay? North American Mission Board. They specifically focus on Canada, United States, Caribbean, places around, obviously, America. You say, well, we're Americans, we should be sending out missionaries. No, we need missionaries here. Life is not perfect here. There are church planters, and there are missionaries who were sent even to West Virginia. And that's okay. That's good. Part of our mission money from this church supports NAM, North American Mission Board. Again, I have many contacts and friends who are part and serve as missionaries in North America. Well, I thought a missionary had to go to... Maybe that's the old traditional thinking of missions, but no, we can have missionaries right around the corner. It's okay. And church planting is a major focus of the North American Mission Board. But the North American Mission Board also helps with reaching those who are dealing with poverty. It has a big chunk called Send Relief that helps with foster care and adoption. It has a big chunk that helps with reaching out and doing things like shoeboxes, but other practical ways of helping. And so they do a lot of mission work, but right here in North America. And yes, the need is great. I'm thankful for the IMB and NAM. I think they do an excellent job, probably better. Maybe I'm opinionated, maybe not. Judge for yourself. I think they do the best job of any mission organization in the world. I don't care the denomination. I don't care whether it's independent. They do the best. They do the best. We get to partner with the best two mission organizations in the world. You can disagree. That's okay. The cooperative program is money that Southern Baptist churches give together to help local West Virginia, national, North American, and international needs. That's what the cooperative program is. If you hear that being referred to, it's us churches, Southern Baptist churches, cooperating and giving and pooling our money together to be able to do better things than if we just kept all our money to ourselves and said, all right, how can we help? Pulling things together is going to help more. So we cooperate together to help mission organizations. Also, we have this thing called the WVCSB. That's the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists. Because we are a church in West Virginia, we are part of the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists. And it is other Southern Baptists that exist in the state of West Virginia. I personally appreciate that even more than the national brand or international brand of Southern Baptist Convention. Because I know these people. I know these people well. They provide training and they provide help for pastors. They provide things like camps. You heard us talk about YEC, Youth Evangelism Conference, that we took a chunk of our teens to. That was led by the WVCSB. I was able to go along with a handful of Sunday school teachers and assistants yesterday to a Sunday school training. You know who provided that? The WVCSB. I'm excited about being able to serve my third year at Summit Camp, and we're going to have teens from our church go to the Summit Camp, including my own three teens will be going as well for their third time. I'm excited to take some kids here who don't know about this camp. I get to take them to this camp. Guess who's running it? The WVCSB. You have seen in the inauguration service that I had back in January, there were three men who actually took part in the service because I didn't preach. I just kind of was here and being sworn in as pastor, if you want to put it that way. Those three men who took part in that were all from the WVCSB. You've heard their names before. You've seen them if you've been in this church any length of time. There is some good as well. But you may also still have a little bit of a negative connotation of the good and the bad and the ugly of being part of a denomination. I understand that. There are problems and there are benefits with being affiliated with a denomination. Have you thought through this before? Is this brand new to you? Like it or not, this is what our church is. We're a part of the SBC. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? That's for our church to decide. No one tells us what to do. That's one of the Baptist distinctives we talked about last week. Each church is autonomous, free to decide what they do. Here's some problems with denominations. The assumption that we are all the same and all have the same beliefs. That's a wrong assumption, but that's the assumption. So if someone hears that we're Southern Baptist, they may think, oh, I went to Southern Baptist Church. Oh, you know what they're doing? They're thinking all Southern Baptist churches are the same. Let me again tell you for I think the 13th time now, they're not. Not even close. Not even close. Are we working together to do some of the same things? Yes. Are we the same? Absolutely not. There are some churches who practice and preach things I would never be okay with. And they're Southern Baptist. It's okay. They're free to do what they think is best, as we are as well. But generally speaking, we're united in having some of the major same beliefs as Christians and enjoying Baptist distinctives that I talked about last week, and then in combining together, and one of the benefits, I'm getting ahead of myself, is being able to lump our money together with this cooperative program and send money to some of the greatest mission organizations in the world. But I will admit, to be part of an affiliation means some people are just going to judge you based on what they know of that other church over there. And I don't know that there's a whole lot that we can do to stop that, except give them a chance to come and visit and then realize, oh, this is nothing like that other church that I hate or that I grew up in that I have major problems with. But I admit that's a problem. Tribalistic attitudes. Tribalistic. Sometimes some of you are sitting there, I know, because I know some of you very well, and some of you are thinking, yeah, that's right, we're Southern Baptists, we're better than everybody else. All those other people have it wrong. They're probably not even going to be in heaven. As the joke says, I guess I should tell it. All right, so the joke is, so there's a bunch of people in heaven, and they've noticed after a few years, few thousand million years walking around heaven, they see like this private room, and they see through a little window like a bunch of people over there, and like eventually people get up the bravery to ask Jesus, like, what's that room, and who are those people like in there? They never come out. They just like stay in there. And Jesus has to tell them, well, that's the Baptist. They think they're the only ones here, so we keep them in that room over there. Stupid joke, but like there's some truth to it. Again, I grew up in a church that pretty much believed that. If you don't believe like we do, you're probably not in heaven. That's not the case at all. I hope I shared that well last week. But there are tribalistic attitudes. We tend to fall into, oh, you're one of us. Okay, everyone else, no, you're wrong. We don't like you. And it's too easy to fall into that attitude today. That's a problem with denominations. Laziness to depend on others to pull the ropes. Well, those other big Southern Baptist churches, they can give more money, so we're just going to let them do it all. And some churches get lazy because, oh, we're part of a denomination, they can do it all. Y'all can do it all. We're not going to pull our part. You guys do it. And there are Southern Baptist churches, especially in West Virginia, who let the bigger ones, believe it or not, we're one of the big ones, and their attitude is, y'all can do it. We ain't helping. We're a tiny church of 15 or 20 people, so you guys do it. And so that's one of the problems. Association with unhealthy practices, churches, and individuals as well. Because again, there are Southern Baptist churches I deeply, deeply would disagree with, that I would not align with. And unfortunately, sometimes we all get lumped together. Not necessarily fair or accurate, but that's how it is. But there are benefits with being a part of a denomination as well. First Baptist Church Fairly is linked with a denomination. Like it or not, here are some benefits. The idea that we are stronger together than we are separately. That churches can come together and have a whole that is greater than the sum of the parts. It's similar to like a baseball team. You could have 9 people on a baseball team, all individually really, really good. But you know what? If you stick one person out there in the field, I don't care how good they are, they're not going to be good. But these 9 individual people come together and play together as a team, and all of a sudden you may have a really good baseball team. The same analogy goes with all sorts of not just sports, but life in general. Same thing with denominations. One church may struggle. One church may not be able to do much. We can't even support a pastor. We can't support missionaries. Yes, but we all come together and we all do what we can, and we have the sum working together, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. And that's one of the best benefits. That's why I love the fact that our mission money is able to lump in with thousands of other Southern Baptist churches and support the best mission organization in the world. Oh, we get to brag about that. We get to have a part in that. We keep each other accountable. Yes, being a Baptist church means no other Baptist church tells us what songs we can sing. They don't tell me what I have to preach and can't preach on. They don't tell us how to run the deacons' meetings or the church business meetings. We are autonomous. We are free to do what we believe is best for our church. Our church. I didn't say my church. I didn't say your church. I said our church. But we do get to keep each other accountable. I have Southern Baptist pastor friends that I can hold accountable and say, well, wait, have you thought that through? And they can come to me and say, okay, I understand, but have you thought that through? And we can keep each other accountable, not dependable, accountable. We can learn from others. I often like to learn from other churches and other pastors and see what they're doing and see if it's something that can help our church. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but we can keep each other accountable and then we can learn from others. Fellowship, encouragement, resources, help, support. All of those are advantages, are benefits of being lumped together with other churches of like faith. Let me say that again. Fellowship. Encouragement. That was weird. I'm getting scared. Resources, help, and support. We experienced some of that yesterday, those of us who are going to go on Sunday school training. I have great friends and fellowship and encouragement being able to work together with other Southern Baptist churches who are of like faith and they want to get together. This church has benefited greatly from that. You guys have had VBS trainings in the past. You guys have had pastoral trainings in the past. We look ahead to even the summer when we have block party outreaches and the trainings and the help and the benefits and the get-togethers. And selfishly, I enjoy the pastoral help and the pastoral retreats and stuff that being a part of a denomination allows us to do. If we were independent church all by ourselves, a non-denominational church, we would truly be all by ourselves. And it would be hard work to find some accountability and some fellowship in other churches of like faith. That's one of the problems of a church that's truly independent all on their own. And then united goals and vision. We're united together. Do we disagree? Sure. I would never do it that way. Oh, our church never would do that. Our church would. Okay, sure. But we have a vision and a goal that works together. I hope I've painted an honest picture of what being Southern Baptist, and specifically in West Virginia, what being West Virginia Southern Baptist looks like. It's got its good, its bad, and certainly its ugly. No one should ever pretend that those things don't exist. I think it's healthy. I think it's good. I think it helps our church overall. But I want to be honest in what our church is. So as we move from problems, denominations, benefits, let's get to our church. Here we are. We've already narrowed the funnel. Christian basics, Baptist, Southern Baptist, West Virginia Baptist, and now we're here. First Baptist Church of Fairleigh. A brief history. This was written back in 2019. I'm stealing from what was put together before. I make no apology for that. I'm taking information that you all can have as well, and I'm going to read some information about the history of our church. Do you know the history of this church? Some would say, I don't care. That's fair. But do you know anything about it? A small group of people with a mutual desire and vision for greater approach to growing in their faith was led to begin a fellowship and a Sunday school hour in their homes. Their efforts resulted in First Baptist Church, Fairleigh, West Virginia, being organized in the year, anybody know? 1959. Whoever said that over here wins a prize. Someone figure out a prize. 1959 with 22 members. The mission was sponsored by the White Sulphur Springs Baptist Church under the auspices, the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. The first service was held November 15th, 1959. I guess when we get close to November 15th, we should probably celebrate. That's our anniversary. The church was constituted September 11th, 1960, with a membership of 38 and a Sunday school enrollment of 74. Ironically, there were more people who were involved in Sunday school than there were members of the church. That's interesting. Land was purchased in 1961, and plans were made to erect a church building. The first prayer service was held in the new building May 16th, 1962. A sanctuary was completed in 1976, and the Education Fellowship Hall was finished in 1979. The present sanctuary, completed in 1987, where we are now, was built on the front of the existing sanctuary behind me, which was subsequently remodeled for church offices and classrooms. The annex building, that way, was purchased in 2001, and the fellowship wing was remodeled in 2002. After renovations were made to the annex, the church offices were moved there in June 2004. In 2006, First Baptist Church received several sizable donations, providing the funds needed to break ground on a family activity center gymnasium connected to the annex. That's a sample of some of the additions and some of the changes, the big changes, in the church here. There's more I could read, but for sake of time, I won't. Some of you are sitting here nodding because you were a part of that. I want to do something that I'll probably maybe never do again, but I think would be very, very interesting to me, the new guy, and hopefully to you as well, whether you're members, attenders, or visitors. I'm going to request that in the decade that you joined this church, and of course, if you're not a member, that means you get to just relax and stay seated. But I'm going to list the decade, and if you join that church, I would ask for you to stand and just stay standing. The church began in 1959, and if I'm correct, we still have one charter member here this morning. There she is, Colleen Walton. I actually got to have dinner with her Thursday evening. And when I found out and was reminded, oh yes, she's one of the original, like that number, what is the number again? I already forgot it. Membership of 38. She's one of the 38 who became the first members of this church. And I said, perfect, you better be here this Sunday because I'm actually going to be talking about church. I'm glad she was able to be here today. Colleen, since you were here in 1959, do you mind standing if you're able? You can get mad at me after for making you stand. 1959. From 1960, if you can, please stay standing because I want everyone to accumulate. She's already mad at me. Stay standing. If you joined this church from 1960 to 1969, would you stand and stay standing? I know that we'll have a few more. We see a couple more. They're coming. Some of them are taking their time to stand, and I respect that. That's okay. If you're able, please stay standing. If you joined the church in 1970 through 79, would you go ahead and stand and join the other standing? A good chunk more. If you joined the church in 1980 through 1989, would you stand and please stay standing? We have some more standing. If you were part of the church in 1990 through 1999, would you stand? Wow. Then we have the turn of the century, 2000 to 2009, would you please stand? 2010 to 2019, would you please stand? I knew that would be a chunk of people. 2020 to the present, 2023, would you please stand? That's me, I get to stand too. Thank you, you may be seated. I find that interesting. Should we clap? I feel weird if we don't clap. I'm not sure what we're clapping for, but let's clap. I found that interesting that we have a good collection of people who have been here as members for over 60 years, all the way up to people like me, months, not even a year yet. And that's what makes up this church. And of course, the membership is represented by people who are not here even this morning, who are out of town, are not able to be here for various reasons. And yet we're made up of members from every single decade from the start of this church. That's the past, a brief history. Obviously, we could talk much more. You who have stood up could say better than I could some of the history and some of the good, the bad, and the ugly that you've seen in this church. But we are strengthened. We have a foundation of members from all different ages, all different generations, all different decades who are represented by this church. My point is, I think that makes us healthy. We're not all people who joined 100 years ago and no early members. We're not all just people who have joined the last 5 years. I think it's a healthy church to have all different ages. I love that. People who have been members, all different, and many people who are not members. That makes us a healthy church. As we go into the present, there's a lot I could say in the time left. I don't have a lot of time. I had asked you guys to turn to Acts 2, and I want us to look at Acts 2 quickly. 42 through 47, the last part of Acts chapter 2. It would be wrong of me. I know this is not normal. I apologize as I did last week. This is not a normal sermon. This is not normally breaking down a passage of Scripture. I'll get right back to that after this series. I think it's important to point that out. For those of you who are like, man, this is a different sort of sermon, believe me, I know. This is not going to be normal, but this is a lot of information. But we must open God's Word even in this bit of a different series. Acts 2, 42 through 47. This is 2,000 years ago, and I pray that this represents the present culture of this church. I'll begin at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We would call that the Bible. And the fellowship. We would call that hanging out together. Like the talking that I had to shut y'all up before service this morning. That's good. Keep doing it. That's fellowship. To the breaking of bread, eating together, celebrating communion together, as we were able to do back in the beginning of April, and prayers, prayer meeting together. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. It doesn't mean they all thought alike. It doesn't mean they were unified on everything. It simply meant they were focused on being together. And in fact, if someone had a need, they took care of it. We kind of do that today. We should do that today. Verse 45, and they were even selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. We should be doing that today. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. If you don't mind, flip right over to chapter 4. Acts 4. If you're scrolling, go ahead and type in Acts 4. Acts 4, 32 through 35. Beginning at verse 32, Acts 4, 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Time out. If I ever stop, fire me. If I stop giving testimony to the power of the Lord Jesus, get me out of here and find someone who will. The gospel should always be prevalent and primary in the teaching of this church. And it was 2,000 years ago. Great grace was upon them all. Verse 34, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, laid it at the apostles' feet, and was distributed as to each as any had need. And you can read on and see more specific ways that they did that. The point here, and some people criticize this and say, well, not in my America. We're never going to be socialists like they were back in the early church. This had nothing to do with a political persuasion. This had nothing to do with forced care. This had everything to do with, you have a need, I'm going to meet it. Or better, you have a need, we are going to meet it. We, the church, we the small group, we the Sunday school class, we the individuals, we the membership. If we're a part of this local church, you have a need, whether it's in the church or out of the church, we're going to do whatever we can to meet it. That's one of the primary purposes of a church. Not just to be here on a Sunday morning. Is this important? Of course it is. But how are we helping others? How are we meeting the needs within this church and outside of the church? That's how the church started, and that's how it should be today. That should be what is happening presently now, 2023, in this church. And if we're not, we need to figure out how to do it. I love the fact, and this is one of the selling factors for me deciding on to come to this church, is that there are already so many local, regional outreaches. I didn't have to come here and say, now guys, we're going to have to start doing stuff in the community. It was already here, and it continues, and it should continue. If it doesn't, we need to change that. And so we have presently the example of the early church as well as today. Our church constitution on membership. I have it printed out. I encourage you, if you have the copy of a constitution, to be able to read it. There are a couple things that it mentions regarding relationships. The government of this church, guys, this is our church's constitution. The government of this church is vested in the body of believers who compose it. It is subject to the control of no other ecclesiastical body, but it recognizes and sustains the obligations of mutual counsel and cooperation, which are common among Baptist churches. And it goes on. It lists objectives. The Constitution lists objectives of this church. In other words, why we exist, what we should be doing. Here's a few of them. To be a dynamic spiritual organism empowered by the Holy Spirit to share Christ with as many people as possible in our church, community, and throughout the world. All I can say is a hearty amen. To be a worshiping fellowship, experiencing an awareness of God, recognizing his person, and responding in obedience to his leadership. To experience an increasingly meaningful fellowship with God and fellow believers. To be a church that ministers unselfishly to persons in the community and world in Jesus' name. And I'll end with this one. To be a church whose purpose is to be Christ-like in our daily living, by emphasizing total commitment of life, personal, and possessions to the Lordship of Christ. I could go on, but for sake of time, I must not. But our Constitution, our church was built on the fact that this is what our church should be. And all I can do as a pastor is say amen, echo it, and do whatever I can to lead and equip our church to do what we should be doing. Together, to grow, to go. because I talked about this in January. I won't spend time on it today. Our church should gather, grow, and go. I know it's a cheesy quote. It helps me. I hope it helps us realize why we're here. This church exists to gather. It's what we're doing right now. To grow, to learn together, to be a part of a class, to be a part of a small group, to meet together and to grow in Christ, and then to turn around and go. If we are gathering, growing, and staying, we're dropping the ball. We are to gather, grow, and go. Fourth one here is specifically mentioned for church members, and that is to give. And that means both giving of your time and talents and giving financially to the work of the church as well. This one gets awkward because as a pastor, I realize how self-serving it sounds. But it is expected that members are able to give as God has blessed them. And that allows the growing and the going and the gathering to happen. I think it's also helpful to be reminded that there should be specific expectations for church members. We'll get to this in a couple weeks. Beyond expectations for attenders or what we can just call friends of the church and visitors. If you're a member, there should be different expectations for you than if you're not. If you're just a tender, I like this church, I like coming, okay. But those who are members are committed to doing more. This is a bit of a teaser for the next couple weeks as we get very, very specific. Into the future. I want a continued growing focus on four things. This is as basic as it can be for a church. Write them down if you want, but they're going to be really obvious. Evangelism. Telling people about Jesus. How, where, when, who, all of that can be discussed and planned and debated and so on. If our church does not tell people about Jesus, we're not doing what we should be doing. Into the future, this must be a church that tells people about Jesus. If we stop, if we're just a holy huddle, or us four no more, as the phrases tend to be, we don't want any of those outsider scary people. It's just us. Those people aren't welcome because they're not like us. We have completely dropped the ball, and we should be a church that should be ashamed. I'm grateful that I don't feel that here. I'm grateful that we are welcoming and opening, and we want and we desire all people of all sizes, backgrounds, flavors, opinions to be here. If you don't, I still do. I want everybody to feel welcome here. Why? Because this should be a church going into the future that shares evangelism. Discipleship. Discipleship is the next step. You say, okay, I'm already evangelized. I know Jesus. Then we grow. That's what discipleship is. Learning how to be a follower of Jesus. Disciple. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a learner. None of us have made it yet. You know how I know that? Because nobody makes it till you're in heaven. And I would argue even then, we'll still be learning more and more about Jesus. But we are to grow. None of us are exempt from this. Well, pastor, I already got it all figured out because I'm a teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. No, all of us are to be growing as disciples, as followers of Jesus. If this church does not assist in discipleship, we are not doing our job. Into the future, I think it's already been said, but we will do service. We are presently, we have in the past, and in the future, we better as well. Again, if we fall apart with service, serving the community, serving the people in this church, we're not doing our job. Lastly, into the future, some of you may guess, missions is going to happen. It already is happening and has happened, and this church is very generous in their mission giving. Locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. I talked about that earlier with the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program. But we must continue to care about missions. You know the time when we can stop caring about missions? When Jesus comes back. That's when we can stop. Until that happens, we must care. This is one of the reasons I shared about India, a random country that you or I maybe don't care about too much, but we are to care about the rest of the world, including our own backyard, and to make sure that our church is doing missions. Practically speaking, we will be seeing mission trips and more mission outreaches in the future. It will happen as long as I'm here. These things are what the future is going to look like. All I can do is share my vision. This is my vision for First Baptist Church Fairleigh. I pray it is yours as well. And we end with that question. Do you want to be a part of a church that focuses on evangelism, discipleship, service, and missions? Let me be clear. We are not a perfect church. We never have been, and we never will be. Let me also be clear. We won't be perfect at evangelism, discipleship, service, and missions. We won't be perfect at gathering, growing, and going, and giving. But with God's help, we are going to do our best. And with God's help, I as a pastor want to equip us and lead us to do our best to do so. If that's a church you want to know more about, and if that's a church that you can sign on for, I encourage you to continue to come the next 2 weeks as we narrow the focus more and more on church membership.